point to Romans chapter 1 to start. And I was thinking this week about, I'm going to ask you guys a question today, a simple question. And don't take it the wrong way, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I'm going to ask the question, just who the heck do you think you are? And I was thinking about that question this week, and I'm thinking, well, let's take a look at Romans chapter 1 to answer the question of just who do you think you are anyway? Romans chapter 1, good place to start. Do you think of yourself as somebody who's not cared for, alone, or unwanted, let's say? Or do you think of yourself as Romans 1:7 says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you go about your day-by-day living life, do you think of yourself as beloved of God? Or do you think of yourself as, other people in the world might think, no one loves me, no one cares for me, and I'm all alone? How about Romans chapter 3? Romans chapter 3. Do you think of yourself as a worthless sinner? A person who will never amount to anything? Or do you think of yourself as someone who says, well, what's the point of life anyway? Or do you think of yourself as what God writes here in Romans chapter 3? Look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare at this time, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Do you think of yourself as someone who's righteous or a worthless sinner? Do you think of yourself as someone who's been justified? As you walk down the street or you go to your place of work or whatever you do, I'm righteous, I'm justified, I've been redeemed? Or is it a matter of, what's the point? Well, here the word says that you've been made righteous, you've been justified, you've been redeemed. Look at chapter 4, verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, not having done anything, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the person to whom God will not set sin to that person's account. Or do I go about every day and all I ever do is think about my sins and the mistakes and the problems and just who do we think we are? And really, it's really down to each person to think of themselves as they decide to think of themselves. And am I going to do that according to what the world might think me to be or them to be? Or am I going to do it according to what God thinks of me to be? In Romans chapter 5, how about this one? Do you consider to yourself to be somebody who's been crushed by life, failing in life, a loser, occupied by the thoughts of the old life? Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Are we crushed by life? Are we failing in life? Are we losers? Or are we supposed to reign in life? So when we get up in the morning and we get up that day and say, you know what, today, just the same old day, I'll go through the same old things I always do, or do I say, listen, another day, my God tells me that I can reign in life by what Jesus Christ has done for me. another day at which I can enjoy the peace that I have with God, not fighting with God, not hiding from him like Adam was in the garden, not trying to do things to earn his love, but at peace with him. He says, hey, good morning. We're at peace today. Enjoy the peace that I've given to you. How do I think of myself? Do I think of myself as someone who's at peace with God, or am I still fighting with him every step of the way? That's really up to me. Am I going to reign in life? Chapter 6, verse 4 says the same thing. Therefore, we are buried with him by a baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know, newness of life, reigning in life, as believers who, no matter what situation confronts us, we know what to do. And if we don't know specifically what to do, we certainly have a, as we heard in the manifestations, a very close relationship with one who knows what to do in every situation. That's reigning in life by the work of Jesus Christ. Not, as David said, according to, you know, having earned the righteousness, having done any works to get what God has given us, but by the work of Jesus Christ. We reign in life by the work of Jesus Christ. And at chapter 6, verse 7, where we read the, now, as we've seen before, the first command given to the Christian, after Roman lays out some basic truths about what God has done, he says, okay, now I've shown you the basics of what I've done, and here's your job. In Romans 6, 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And having made this, you know, we didn't read all of the first part of Romans, but just some key verses. But having made, you know, the truths evident that there was none that had done anything good, and what God did in Jesus Christ was because man couldn't do it on his own, and he justified, redeemed, sanctified, set man on high. He did all these things. Now God says, here's what I want you to do. Verse 11, likewise reckon, and the word reckon, as you know, is that word that means to logically figure something out. You know, it's the word logic, to think things through. You know, if I have three apples here and I've got three apples over there, I've got six apples. You know, it's just logical reasoning. If this happens, then this. You know, there's a lot of that in the Bible. If you obey my commandments, you get blessed. If you do this, then this happens. And here God says, here's what I've done in Jesus Christ. Now your job, here's your job. And he said very clearly, your job wasn't to earn my love. It wasn't to, you know, try to become at peace with me, because you already are at peace. I don't reckon sin to your account. So your job isn't to do any of those things. Your job is one thing, and that is verse 11. Reckon, logically reason, figure out, get it straight in your head, that you yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're to logically, that's the job of the Christian, to accept, to figure out, logically reason out that all that Jesus Christ has done is true. That we're not slaves to sin, we're not bound to sin, but we live alive unto God through, not by our works, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is that how I think of myself? Or do I think of myself every day as one who's living, having trouble with the thoughts of the old life? You know, sin constantly attacking me. Oh, I'm such a sinner. Or do I think of myself alive unto God, reigning in life by the work of Jesus Christ? It's up to me. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, do I think of myself as someone who has the weight of the entire world on my shoulders? Somebody who's worthy of death because I'm not perfect. And the odd year I've made a mistake. The odd minute, odd month, odd day. You know, or do I think of myself as somebody who's got all that weight? Or do I think of myself as one, as Romans chapter 8, 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. God doesn't hold anything against you. Is that how I think of myself? But what about the times that I make a mistake? There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Even if I make mistakes, and that's where grace abounds. Grace isn't there so that you can freely make mistakes and sin like till, you know, all day long, whatever the heck you want to do. That's not what grace is all about. Grace, both mercy and grace, are there for the time that we don't do what we're supposed to do, the times we do make mistakes and we sin. God says, well, he's merciful to us. And by the way, he's gracious unto us. It's that, I always look at it as those, you know, that umbrella that surrounds you. Grace covers for those times. That's what grace is all about. But there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Do you think of yourself as someone who's powerless, not important, no notoriety in life whatsoever, all alone? Or do you think of yourself as Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sons of God and members of the body of Christ. Do you think of yourself as a son or a daughter of God every single day of your life? Do you get up in the morning saying, man, I'm just so grateful to be your son, Father. Thank you for having done this for me. I really, really appreciate it. Or do I think, oh no, I'm so alone. What's the point of my life? No one cares about me. No one sees anything that I do or don't do. Or do you see yourself as a son of the Creator of the heaven and the earth? Romans 8:31, we have to read this. Do you think of yourself as someone who's, the whole world is against you? I never get anywhere. Just another, you know, passerby on the trash heap of society. You know, and I make these things, but that's a way a lot of people think of themselves. And I have to ask myself every day, Raj, who the heck do you think you are? I don't mean that in the way of, you know, being, having done something wrong, but who do you really think you are? Well, Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, am I thinking of myself as the entire world is against us? And he says, verse 32, he has spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's going to lay anything to your charge? I might want to think the whole world is against me, and maybe the whole world is against you. Certainly, we're not to love the world. The world doesn't really like the things that we think about or do. But the point is, it doesn't matter because God wouldn't be against you. Verse 33, God that justifieth? Of course not. Who's going to condemn you? Verse 34, Christ that died? No. He's risen again. Who is at the right hand? He's making intercession for you. So neither God or Jesus Christ are going to be against you. And I don't think beyond that it matters who is against us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And that's the way we might want to think of ourselves. No. God even says, no, that's not what you're supposed to think. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, you don't go around down the street saying, I am more than a conqueror. I can do it through him that loved us. We are conquerors through the work of Jesus Christ. So we keep that straight. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's my choice. Who do I think that I am? Am I one who's never going to be separated from Jesus Christ and God and the things that have been done for us? Or am I one who thinks that I'm separated and the world is against me? It's up to me. Who do I think that I am? No one else controls your thinking. You are totally and absolutely in control of everything that you think. So we can make the determination. These are some Roman truths that we looked at. Let's go to some Ephesian truths that are built on these. Ephesians chapter 1. And certainly we didn't look at we just touched the surface of Romans there for a second. You know, and those are wonderful truths. You know, you could live your entire life in a blessed manner, but God goes even beyond that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. And the word in love is joined with the next verse. But, you know, we just read in Romans that no condemnation against us. We've been made righteous, justified, redeemed. And here God raises the bar even more. He says, holy and without blame. Holy and without blame. Remember Moses, when Moses was standing before God, said, God said, take off your shoes. The place around you is holy. That place that God said was holy, God made it holy. That's why it was holy. And here the Bible says, God has made you holy and without blame. There's no blame to you. Are holy without blame? Or do you still see yourself as someone who's sinful and condemned? You see, God even gives you even more than we read in Romans. In chapter 1, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was his good pleasure, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the... You are accepted in Christ Jesus. You're not, you know, you can choose to think, well, I'm unloved or unwanted. But God says that he has made you accepted in the beloved. What a wonderful thing to think about. Do you think of yourself that way? You wake up, I'm accepted. I'm loved. God has redeemed, he has made me accepted in Jesus Christ. In verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Let's go down to verse... Let's keep reading. In whom he also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, verse 13, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Do we look at ourselves as someone who is powerless and weak in their life? Do I think of myself? You remember those guys when the apostles were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews? Are we people who sit behind closed doors out of fear? Powerless and weak? Or do we think of ourselves the way God thinks of us in verse 18? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God has an inheritance in you. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Do I think of myself as powerless or weak? Or do I think of myself who has someone who has access to the power that he wrought in Jesus Christ, according to the power, working of his mighty power, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So do I think of myself as someone who has an inheritance, sealed with the Spirit of promise, a person in whom the Spirit of God is? Remember Joseph? Remember they were looking for, and Pharaoh said, hey, can anybody find someone in whom the Spirit of God is? Like Joseph here? What did Joseph do? And this was before Jesus Christ had come and made all that was available for you and me. So, do I think of myself as someone who's powerless? Or am I a man in whom the Spirit of God is? The Spirit of God, the power that God wrought in Jesus Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and that we have access to that power. How could I ever think of myself as powerless in a situation? Chapter 2, verse 4. Do I think of myself as someone who's pushed around by the world? You know, a person who has no meaning in life? Or do I think of myself as Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding grace, riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Pushed around by the world or seated in the heavenlies? Now, you know, you read that and you go, well, what does that mean to me down here anyway? Yeah, I read that, seated in the heavenlies, but what does that mean to me? If you're seated in the heavenlies with the Lord Jesus Christ, then don't forget that we made Him our Lord. When He said, "Take my yoke upon you," He said, when we're yoked together with Jesus Christ, who's the one who's going to actually do the pulling? Who's going to do the greater work? You or the Lord Jesus Christ? What did Jesus Christ say when He told those guys, "Don't you just go ahead and believe what I've taught you, shown you, and I'm going to be there confirming the signs, confirming the work with signs and wonders following." That's what it means. We have an advocate with God. We have an intercessor. We have a defense attorney, a high priest, a captain of salvation, seated at the right hand of God, and we're seated with Him, so we have access to all that power. Is that how we think of ourselves? Or as soon as someone says one bad thing towards us, or something doesn't quite work the way we want, "Oh, I don't have, what's the point? No, our minds have to constantly keep going back to, what does God think of us? Not the temptation of what we might choose to think of ourselves. Just who do we think we are anyway? Do we think of ourselves as the Word of God thinks of us? Or do we think of ourselves as we choose to, base on what's happening around us? Verse 18. "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." You know, Romans tells us we're justified, redeemed. We've been made righteous, not by what we did, but by what Jesus Christ did. It says there's no condemnation against us. It calls us saints. It calls us beloved of God. Now look what Ephesians does to that. Verse 20, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Habitation of God, the Creator of the heaven and earth. We are His habitation. Now, if that doesn't give us purpose and meaning, what else possibly could? Now, that very clear, we could never be cut off. Our life is not without meaning and purpose. We are the habitation of God. You see how Ephesians just raises those wonderful truths that Romans tells us to such a high level. You wake up in the morning and think, "I am the habitation of God, the Creator of the heaven and the earth." How dare I think of myself as someone who's cut off and have a life without meaning or without purpose, powerless or weak, when God says, "Hey, you're my habitation." God has chosen us to be His habitation. Remember in the Old Testament, they were talking about trying to find a home for God, trying to build Him a temple. It says God doesn't need that, but what has He chosen in this administration? He has made us His habitation. Pretty incredible. Chapter 3, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Do I think of myself as someone who's unloved? Or do I think about this where it says, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So just, who do you think you are anyway? Well, the answer really should be, I think of myself as my Father God has told me to think, and just as he thinks of me. And how do we know what that is? Well, the Bible tells us so. It's pretty simple. And that's a very, very safe and wonderful grounding to be on, to think of ourselves, to logic out, to reason it out, exactly what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, and to continue each day when we get up to think the thoughts that God has towards us. How God, and those thoughts are very, very clear in his word. You know, instead of the thoughts of the world, it says we're beloved of God, righteous, justified, redeemed, at peace, atoned, or to reign in life, alive unto God, no condemnation, grace reigning in our lives, sons of God, members of the body of Christ, more than conquerors, never separated, all spiritual blessings, holy and without blame, accepted, having an inheritance, sealed with the Spirit of promise, people in whom the Spirit of God is, access to the exceeding greatness of his power, seated in the heavenlies, the habitation of God, beloved of God. And those are some wonderful thoughts that we can take heed to each and every day. So, God bless.